listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 10th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. And before we get started, I know Dr. Zach has already written a congratulations to all of our graduates last Saturday. It was a great gathering, had a great time. And congratulations to everybody.
Well said, and a good shout out. It was a wonderful event. Happy to see so many people join us. We had so many listeners and so many people joining in support and celebration. I loved it, and so many of our Spirit of Life crew were there too, many graduating, as a matter of fact. Thanks to those very same people joining us live in the chat. We appreciate you and look forward to your chat and contributions. And of course, thanks to those that take the time out of their week to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight's topic, how does love behave?
I really love this topic, to be honest.
As do I. Good way to put it, of course. No pun intended. But, yeah. You know, I don't know that we've really gotten into this kind of topic before.
Well, I think we've skirted around it at times. Yeah. But getting right to the heart of it, how does love behave? And, you know, I think... You know, aside from last week's program kind of segueing into this, for many, many years, I hear people, especially in the New Age community or religious communities, love conquers all. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they figure that, honestly. In churches, you hear it a lot where, you know, God will help you. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, whoa. And, you know, love will make it better. And I go, whoa. Like I'm saying to myself that we have a notion about love just is, and it just exists. And it's and look, it does. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's infinite and always. But we're human beings in a conditioned world, a conditioned society. And we still live with, you know, earth law, natural law, spiritual law, universal laws. And we are a participant in that. And through some manner of intelligence, we have to decide how that love is going to manifest into this world. You agree, Michael?
Absolutely. And I think that there is an air of subjectivity to it. There is differences about us as human beings, which means we're going to need different things in terms of love. But I do understand the concept, you know, going back to what you opened with, the idea of love conquering all is kind of laughable when you live in the real world. But love can conquer some. love can empower you to do certain things, to push yourself to certain new levels. But I would say that it is...
But we're still deciding that.
As a people?
It's still a decision. Yes.
Oh, of course. Yes. And yes, absolutely. Love is a choice. This idea that, you know, oh, you love who you love. Yeah, and you know, maybe we're getting into semantics, but you also do have a choice. I mean, you have to realize, okay, there might be an attraction, or there might be a pull, or you might be fond, but is it real love if it's not, you know, something that's healthy, that's not reciprocated? Or is it something that's more twisted?
Well, Dr. Zach Frame, he's in the chat, he said, we do really stupid things for love. That's less the case if we have good boundaries. But love definitely clouds our judgment, or at least it can. Maybe he says, or maybe that's just me. And no, because emotions. There's a difference between how we feel emotionally that stimulates our physicality, you know, because we are physical beings. And when you have an emotional response, the body and our body chemistry, of course, reacts. But is it love? You know, so I say we can feel an intellectual attraction. We can feel an emotional attraction. We can feel a physical attraction. Mm-hmm. But just because you feel one of those things doesn't mean that's love. Yep. And then, of course, there's a spiritual attraction. Oh, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can feel like you've met your soulmate, but they're a drug addict. So you are not going to make it in this relationship. So it's having all of those layers where, you know, spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally, there's an alignment of sorts. It's more peaceful than anything, rather than the euphoria, you know, it's having a peaceful. So if we're going to talk about relationships in that way, it's more, I think, what makes a good partner, but we still decide how we're going to behave in that relationship. And it's two people and understanding, well, I like this, I don't like that. And it's a negotiation of sorts of what our boundaries, as Zach has brought up, but also what requirements are. And I'm not being like over the top here, because when it comes to how you put the toilet paper roll on, who cares?
Oh, come on. No. There's only one right way. That's a deal breaker right there. I'm sorry.
It depends if you have cats. <I'm kidding. laughs> But I think that we're still negotiating that. So when you say that's love, well, we're deciding then how that love is going to behave. Mm-hmm. Everything is, it's not, I don't like the word compromise. To compromise means to give up part of yourself, and I'm not a supporter of that. However, it does mean sometimes we move over, you know, of things, as Dr. Kelly would say, principle versus, you know, preference. Mm-hmm. And so that's still a negotiation. So you're still deciding how that love is going to behave between two people.
Right.
And but we don't think of it as a decision because we only know how we feel. And I think, as Zach has mentioned, we do stupid things because we want to believe that love will conquer addiction. Love will conquer bad behavior. Love will conquer narcissistic, you know, behavior or borderline personality disorder. Love will conquer depression. Love will conquer the fact that I'm broke.
Right.
And love is just going to take care of it all because we live in the name of love. And that's just not realistic. We are human beings with an intelligence to understand that we have to decide how that behaves.
Absolutely. You know, we have a hand in deciding how our lives are played out. We have a hand in writing it. I would also say that I definitely want to get into the topic or the relation that fear has to love, because I do think that they're intertwined. There's so much territory to cover here. Of course, lately in this discussion, we've been focusing on romantic love, which I think is not the only, but I do think that it is important to also acknowledge the secondary gains that people get from these beliefs. And it is, I mean, in a lot of ways, dogmatic traditional religion, it's a, you know, it's an easy out. It's okay, everything's figured out, we're good, you know, no need to stress, no need to have existential anxiety, you know, we got it all laid out. So, you know, there's a huge secondary gain to that. Of course, then you have to abandon critical thinking, you have to abandon your integrity and devotion to being open to what real truth is, to reality. But I do agree, love is a very complicated thing. And
well,
then
I think a lot of people are in love with the idea of love.
Oh, well said.
But they don't necessarily, it's like a lot of time when relationships fail, I'm in a position where I remind people you're grieving the dream, not the individual. Because what went on with the individual was not good, but you're grieving what the relationship and the idea of love represented to you. And of course, there's a lot of other psychodynamics at work, but I think that we can get just as addicted to the idea of love and even addicted to people. And as you say, that dissonance, Michael, you know, it's, oh, well, you know, they're good at this, but not good at that, you know, and it does drive me crazy, but I love him. You know, that kind of stuff. But when people are growing together, that's fair. But when there's, when someone is minimized in some way, not fair. You know,
absolutely.
It's when you're compromising who you are.
And I think that's where the fear comes into it. A lot of times you'll give up a lot of your rights, a lot of what is owed to you as a dignified human being, because you're afraid of being alone. Loneliness has a lot of very serious physical negative consequences. It's understandable why you would want to be drawn to an unhealthy love if you're afraid of not having any kind of love at all. And you'll build up that idea of love in your mind. And just like you said, you said it perfectly. You're in love with the idea of love. So
I think the hardest time for people is during adolescence, to be honest, because the body's going through so many changes and emotionally, and it's this real boost forward trying to understand what's going on. So things get very confused about what love is. And, of course, searching for love in all the wrong places. And if we don't kind of start working into the corrections of that, that carries on into the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm just saying, even young people from healthy families, and there are such things, I believe. Unfortunately, we live in a lot of a dysfunctional world where people can blame the parents, blame this, blame that, you know. But often what I see is, you know, the reverse as the pendulum swings in a world where I regard a lot of what's going on as passive parenting, and where there isn't the discipline. Parents are so, look, this is just my opinion, Michael, where I live in this little corner of the universe, but they try to be friends with their kids, or they don't want their kids to be mad at them, and they want to make sure the kids have everything. But the kids, meanwhile, are writing the script and running the show, and there's been no discipline. They become terrible adults. They're not likable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just not likable.
They don't have a degree of humility, of understanding that the universe does not revolve around them.
Exactly. So that's where the self-esteem movement, I kind of think, took a blip. But I think that what is love, when parents think, well, I just love my child, well, you're not doing them any favors by not setting boundaries and using disciplines. Because it's kind of like, you know, you're young and going through life, it's kind of like bumper cars, and unless you feel safe and you know what the boundaries are, you're going to be all over the place and stretching, like going over the curb or the median, you know? and then you think that you're invincible and not to be able to do whatever you want when you're age 12 or 14 or 16. And so it's like to bring that in, and that a lot has to do with the family structure. But I don't want to entirely blame this on parents, because I know good parents who are attempting to, you know, kind of bring about some kind of discipline or consequence, who then are up against the world and all the friends and everybody else who's not necessarily giving boundaries. So,
well, you know what I say. The quickest way to establish healthy boundaries is a cattle prod. So, you know, hey.
That is funny. But you know what I'm saying. So how does love behave? To me, it's more loving to set up, you know, put in place a discipline or a consequence that I know is going to help somebody when they're an adult, you know, and as to create a functioning, healthy adult. Well, so basically, love. I don't think it's a very loving thing to just give a kid an allowance every week for doing nothing. So just hand out the money. And then Dr. Mike, thanks for being here, Dr. Mike. He writes in the chat, he says, I call it the what have you done for me lately syndrome. And so where's the appreciation? So again, how does love behave? What is a loving experience that sometimes it feels like tough love? Sometimes it doesn't feel like that's a loving thing at all when you're being tougher. You know, when you have to be the bad guy, but simply you're the parent. You're not the kid and you're not their friend. You're the parent.
Right.
And so what is parenting?
You have to have an authoritarian role, or authoritative role at least, as a parent. You have to be the alpha, as it were. You know, it's not about, you know, I think that you can apply a lot of the whole dog whisperer lessons to this. It's not about it being aggressive, it's about being dominant.
No.
And I kind of say that tongue in cheek, because what it is, it's about respect, and it's about a layer of authority and the fact that there is, in a family, between parents and children, a hierarchical structure. And you have to be at the top of that hierarchy until they are an adult themselves. I do not say that in a family, the man is at the top of that hierarchy. It's a partnership at the top of the hierarchy, but you know what I mean. And I think that when we talk about love of our family, love of our kids, you know, it is important not to be stifling as well. You know, there is the balance to be struck. You don't want to be a friend. Not to say that you can't have a friendly relationship, but you will always be the parent. That is your role, and that will always, you know, be the primary facet of the relationship between a parent and child. But it is,
I think also, you know, as I fast forward being a grandparent, I think the most loving way I can be a grandparent is, number one, to mind my own business.
Yeah.
that's huge, because I'm not the parent, I'm the grandparent. But when there is something that I feel is amiss, it's my, as my daughter would say, I'm the matriarch, then I speak up. But I do it hopefully in a good way, even though it might feel a little hurtful in that moment. Do it in a good way. And we've had instances where a week later my daughter will come to me and say, I thought about what you said, you know, it kind of hurt my feelings, but you're right, and I had to think about it. But that's part of the dynamic of growing, and to me that's behaving in a loving manner, you know. And so you can, there's so many ways to show that you love, but the biggest way, I think, is to tell people and show them that they're safe with you.
Yes.
And that you'll protect them and that you'll guard them. And protection doesn't look like a loving thing, Michael.
Well, it can, but that's part of the balance. You don't want to be stifling.
Yeah.
You need to allow people to make mistakes, but you also want to protect them.
But an observer might say, oh, you're being so mean. You know, that's not a loving way.
Well, I think there's a merry bunch of difference between being good and being nice. And being mean is subjective. Are you being assertive? Are you being direct? Is that being perceived as being mean? Because I think being mean has an emotional connotation of a negative emotion, either an anger or, you know, something like that. I think kind of the desire to hurt when I think of mean, but, I also think that there is a thing, especially in parenting, where you are too much trying to build the child that you want. You have them in all the right programs. You control who they're friends with. You control everything that they do in their after school activities. Everything's structured. Everything's, you know, okay, you have to do this, this, and this. Here's your cello lessons. Here are your Mandarin and your Spanish, you know, et cetera lessons. You then stifle the creativity and the self-development therein. You know, there's a balance.
Well, one of the things that I know my daughter and I had a conversation, and she's in her 40s, and we had a conversation not long ago, now that she has teenagers, and she said, I don't want to break their spirit. And that's a good point. I totally get where she's coming from in that way. And I said, well, you can't. That spirit is intact.
Yeah.
It takes a certain cruelty for that to happen. And when you're not behaving in a cruel manner, you know, and not a desire to harm, you're acting in a loving way, doing what love requires of us to help protect and manage and help them navigate. Now, they're not always going to like it. You took her phone away. She's mad. You know? And how long you take that away, well, you're not going to break her spirit by taking the phone away. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't think I'm talking out of school. I think a lot of people out there can relate who are listening, mm-hmm. you know, to what we're saying. We're using really, you know, everyday kinds of things to demonstrate that we're always deciding how love behaves. And it's a cop-out then to say, well, love, you know, will carry us through this. Love will conquer this. And it just doesn't happen that way, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's just my observation of it and experience.
Absolutely. Well said. I think, you know, we've talked about love in a parent-child relationship. We've talked about romantic love. I think that we can also expand it to the love that we use when we approach, you know, close friends and family, people that are part of our, you know, inner tribe, to use the term.
I agree.
And that's an entirely different thing in and of itself, too. And there you also have to determine, you know, how is this love going to be? How are you going to behave in this hopefully loving relationship? Are you going to be offering unsolicited advice? Are you going to be controlling? Are you going to look for the balance? Are you going to, you know, not overstep and to mind boundaries and to have clear communication? I think this is how we can directly improve how, you know, love behaves in our own personal lives.
You know, that's a really good point, Michael. I know that, you know, we all go through our times in life, and how far do you go with a friend that's not crossing a barrier or a boundary, a discomfort? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm concerned for you. Is everything okay? And then if there's some kind of conversation going on, then you can carry that through. But you can sense when somebody's not ready to talk about that, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody you know who's going a little bit off the rails. We've all done it a little bit. And you say, look, I'm going to tell you straight. I think you're going a little off the rails right now, you know. It's a little OCD, maybe just pull it back a little bit, let's be calm, let's, you know, feel our way through this and think about it. But that has to be done appropriately without alienating and being disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's entitled to live their life the way they choose, you know, provided that you've chosen a healthy friendship. It's when things get tipped. Like, I'm your friend, but you're really not my friend. That's not a fair and equitable deal.
No, no. Every relationship has to be win-win. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, I think it's good to point out, we have Santana in chat with us, and she had asked the question, do we think that love comes more from the mind than the actual heart, and maybe that is why it can be tainted or not? You know, I think when we speak of the heart, we're speaking, you know, everything happens in the mind. And of course, you know, the mind is, you can't locate it per se, but we know that these are all things that are happening in our mind and our thoughts and in that essence of our consciousness that is more than the sum of our parts. And I think that it's all a mix, you know, our mind, our heart, these are all different aspects of our consciousness. And when we say heart, you know, it's just a metaphor, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to share something from personal experience. The love of my life, 9.5 years we were together. We did not live together. It was turbulent. He liked his alcohol a little too much, and it was selfish. I had kids. I'm raising kids. But no two people were ever more in sync with each other, thought more of each other, but we just couldn't live together.
Mm-hmm.
So when we ended that, in the most loving of ways, I might say, because that love didn't stop. It was a spiritual love, an emotional love, but there was also a sensibility and an intelligence to it, that to be respectful of each other's choices, mm-hmm. that we're not going to be able to make this work. So each going our own separate path, we remained the best of friends right up until he passed. And, and of course that's like losing the love of your life, even though we weren't married and together. But, that's life. And as we get older, that's going to happen. But to me, that is love. I hate that cliche, Michael, of if you love something, set it free. But there is something to that. And it's allowing each of us to be who we are.
Well, I think it's...
And that's, to me, if you want to talk about what is love, it's greater than our parts. It's greater than we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to come into that place of acceptance. I love you, but I can't be with you. Or I love you, but I can't let you treat me like that. I love you, but we can't share in that space.
Right.
And still not get all twisted up in our emotions that it's got to be all or nothing.
Yeah. And, I think that's very well said. I also think about the phrase, if you love it, set it free, them, however you want to phrase it. I think better to say, if you love them, don't confine them. Don't be possessive about it is really what I'm trying to get at. Because if it's a true win-win.
Anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's something that we grow into, though. I think that's a maturity that has to happen with that. I'm the first to admit, young and dysfunctional, what did I know? But I wanted to know more about me than I did anybody else, to be honest. And I wanted to know all that I could be. And I wanted to correct dysfunction. I wanted to correct negative and implant positive. And I wanted mm-hmm. to feel a self-certainty. And basically that was loving me more than anybody else. And I don't like that cliche about love yourself. What is that loving yourself? Loving yourself is ownership. Because if there's garbage in there, you got to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put it on the table, look at it, and say, you know what? You were just stupid. And own your stupid and say, okay, now let's move on from that. Because it's rather than all the psychobabble, I prefer to make it a little bit simpler. And instead of trying to analyze things to death, it's like, that was just a dumb thing to do. and you own it. Or I don't like that side of myself. I don't like that about me. And, I have the power to change that. So that relationship with yourself, to me, and how you behave with yourself is the most loving act of any human being. Because that then projects outside yourself. Then you mm-hmm. think clearer about what is love. You think clearer about your dynamic with the rest of the world. And, I can go to work and somebody can yell and scream at me, and I know that's got nothing to do with me. So it's because I have that relationship with myself. And I don't want to oversell this, because there are times when, even I get a little sensitive or a little bit, ooh, that hurt my feelings. Why did that hurt my feelings? How come my feelings are hurt? And then I have to think about that, because that's, again, part of the process of mm-hmm. growing more mature and growing into all that we're born to be. That's a long process.
It is.
But how do we want love to behave? Mm-hmm. That ultimately starts within yourself. If I let you hit me, I'm not loving myself very much today. And if I'm loving you more than me, then, as Dr. Kelly would say, that's a whole lot of them esteem going on.
Yep.
Instead of the self-esteem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if somebody's hitting you, beating you, that's not win-win. That's not healthy. That's not balanced. That is one partner being stifling, being controlling, keeping you prisoner. And the thing about that is, unless you're in a literal situation where you're being physically prevented from leaving, which it does happen, I'm sorry to say, in this, you know, often cruel world. Side note, it's often wonderful too, let's not lose sight of that, but there is cruelty. The people that are in those relationships, whether they know it or not, they have a hand in creating their own prison. And it is being self-aware to know your worth and to know that you deserve a win-win relationship in all the best ways.
Well, Dr. Mike says in the chat quite well, because that's Dr. Mike, love is a universal human experience that encompasses a wide range of feelings and expressions. And of course, you know, that really does sum it up. But the next step of that is each of us has a responsibility to decide how that's going to behave. And hopefully that doesn't impose some kind of belief system upon another, because we all know here, every religious group will tell you that they know love better than the next group.
Mm-hmm. And many of the major religions, especially the older dogmatic religions, will tell you that love to God is more important than love to any being on this planet. Which, how dysfunctional is that? And not even a God that you have conversations with, that you can ask questions to, and that will give you a literal response, but something that is a vague idea, something that you have to have faith in. It's absurd to me, but nonetheless.
Well, Dr. Mike also adds, love extends beyond personal relationships to include a broader sense of compassion, empathy, and care for others in the world around us. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Mike, because it's a love of humanity, and you may not like people very much on some days, but we love the humanity, and spirit knows love, you know, that spiritual essence, and again, that broader sense of no matter what you believe, it's there is this energy that binds us all.
Mm-hmm. We call it the force. Go ahead.
The force. And that does exist. And so it's, I must say that there are days when, you know, I don't care for people too much, but I love them all. And I don't mean to sound condescending.
No, I get what you mean. You know, I've always had a saying. I've always said that I can hate people. I can hate things that I see, trends. Like, oh, why does this group of people do that? And, you know, why do these people act this way? And oftentimes, in my personal example, I'm talking about different sides of the perpetual irritating culture wars. But when I'm face-to-face with somebody, even if they have different ideology or different values, it's much more difficult for me to hate them. It's very, very hard and rare because I see them. I see them as a human being. Exactly. And, yeah, I understand what you're saying. That's always how I've thought of it.
So what Dr. Mike is saying, that broader sense of compassion, empathy, and caring, you know, for others, and it's that one-on-one thing. Everybody deserves that dignity and respect and regard. But in that moment, you are also deciding how love is going to behave.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you have chosen a behavior when you extend that kind of compassion or sensitivity or just simply respect. I respect you as a human being. We're talking to each other, you know, and so that being first. So always acting in a loving way before we act in some other kind of way. You know, I gotta tell you, Michael, I was driving down the street. There's, you know, a set of lights, four-way lights, right? And I'm in the right-hand lane. It's a green light, but the car in front of me stops at a green light, thinking the woman and her stroller is supposed to cross the road. and I had that one of those moments, those glitches, right? That I'm thinking, what's going on here? And I don't think I've honked my horn in over 10 years, but I kind of just tapped on my horn for a second, and it took about 3 seconds for this individual driving to say, oh, green light, go.
Yeah.
I thought, now there's somebody who was having, and I have to include this, having absolute regard for a pedestrian,
mm-hmm.
but just at the wrong time.
Well, yeah, and probably not realizing that, I imagine that there was a little, you know, indicator to not walk at this particular time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you got to admire the, you know, the desire to be kind. Makes me think of a joke that a comedian told about a study that was done where they were testing different regions and, you know, how aggressive they are on the road. So they time, you know, they'd sit at a light. When it changed to green, they would time how long it took the person behind them to honk their horn or do something. In New York City, as you'd expect, it's a fraction of a second. You got to get going. He was talking about his hometown of Portland, Oregon, being such a nice place. They did this study in Portland. They, you know, light changed to green. They're waiting. Nothing. Minutes pass. Changes back to red. As they're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on, somebody knocks on their window. Are you okay? Thinking that something must have been wrong because they didn't go. But funny story. And I think, you know, this has been a great discussion. I would just, you know, I would think that respect and dignity are essential ingredients to love. And thinking about respect.
But having it for yourself first.
Oh, yes.
You can't give away something you don't have.
Yes, true enough. But you know, don't get so caught up in your own hubris that your respect for yourself outweighs the rights of others also.
Absolutely.
I'd say the balance. And, you know, thinking about this, I can't help but end on the fact that we need to always remember the tragic example of Rodney Dangerfield, who could get no respect. So, may he rest in peace.
Keep it real, Michael. Keeping it real. All right, let's move on to some cards. We have some names.
Yeah.
For those who are new to us or listening in the archives and you haven't been with us before, Michael draws a card from the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards of Dr. Kelly's, and I back that up with a tarot card just to see if there's a message in there. So,
absolutely. We have a few folks.
Dr. Mike first.
Dr. Mike. So, as he stated, he would love a card. So, I like that pun. And for you tonight, I have wild card number 3, blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open.
Well, it might sound ironic here, but the Chariot is the backup message to blocks, and the Chariot is that forward movement. You know, when you have that, the balance of energy, and you're moving forward. So it's, if you're feeling, you know, a little wishy-washy, not sure what to do, that in itself is what's required to make the energy move forward. So sometimes we have to push that pause button, decompress,
mm-hmm.
kind of rest up, collect our thoughts before we move ahead. But just, I guess what I want to say is inaction isn't necessarily no action.
Right.
And the energy is still moving. It's just all synchronizing. And blocks is just saying you'll know when to act. You'll know
Absolutely.
When to become more physical about it. So if that's a message to you, Dr. Mike, that there is an energy moving forward, but maybe not in the manner you're accustomed to or, you know, what you expect for yourself, just that trust.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, we have Laura next. Laura, for you, I have number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit.
All right.
The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
Well, I got the Ace of Hearts in support of that, Laura. I love that. You know, kind of in keeping with tonight's topic also, living from the heart. When you are living from your heart and the power of that human spirit means that you're, as I say, in your body. And you kind of know it when you're living life from the inside out rather than the outside in. So it would kind of equate that to them esteem versus self-esteem and a more of a self-certainty. So it's, you've kind of been collecting yourself and living from the heart, living from the inside, and knowing that the truest relationship that you have is one with yourself. And I feel like you're on the verge of something, an epiphany, an awareness of some kind, and that's a powerful moment. It's kind of like feeling a freedom for a moment. It's like, oh, that's what that is. Aha, you know. I like it. It's really exciting.
All right. All right. And our third and final card of the evening is for Jackie. I have for you number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
You know, during a reinvention, at times we can feel alienated from the people we've had so much comfort with. When we start thinking different, feeling different, and expanding our minds, we say, ooh, I feel different than everybody. When you have the Three of Hearts in support of reinvention, Jackie, it's like finding out people you didn't know were of like mind who are actually of like mind. You just may not have had the conversation before. Mm-hmm. It could also mean connecting with new people who are of more like mind. And, you know, a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, don't talk about the fact that they might have seen a ghost or a spirit, or that, you know, their dead mother visited them, or they just don't talk about it because mm-hmm. they just don't talk about it. But when somebody like Jackie opens up that conversation, oh, there's several other people that say, oh yeah, you know, like that's, oh, I've had that experience. So you're not alone in all the things that you're experiencing or have an interest in, which, so the reinvention, you're not alone here. I guess that's what I'm trying to say to you.
I like it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, we do have Santana that has asked for a card, and So I have one for her. I have number 18, always fun when we have some kind of pattern and we have a immediate sequential card, 18 Evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort, but fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Well, evolution, the Queen of Diamonds, I'm saying as you're evolving, Santana, you're also looking at ways to manifest greater value into your life. So whether that's a career, finances, setting a goal of some kind. It's, I don't know, it's kind of like maybe you just got real about something in a way, or you just had an epiphany in some way where you say, oh, that's what I'm going to work toward. And so there's a real push here in your evolving. So Santana said in the chat that birthday is on the 18th. Mm-hmm. So as in previous, you know, shows I've mentioned, the 52 days prior to the birthday is the de-evolving time. It's a time of rest, of kind of synchronizing, gathering your spirits, kind of that energy. Right at the birthday and the 52 days after is a great time for self-promotion. So it's a great time for like promoting yourself in any way. If you want to reach out to new employers, if you want to reach out to the bank for a loan, or you want to any of those things, that's a great time to reach out because the energy is changed. So, you know, advance. So you're right on the precipice here of a birthday. Happy birthday, Santana.
I like that. And, happy birthday.
Yeah, and if you're with us next week, you know, on the program, we'll rave about it. So join us next week.
Incentive.
Yeah, so that's what I have to say. You know, in all of this, really positive cards have come about with all kind of a thread of similarity, you know. I don't know. It's
the birthday is until August 18th, but the card was 18th, hence the connection there.
So, oh,
still early birthday to you, but, you know, right. But we're taking back the happy birthday. We're just kidding. Right. Early birthday to you.
You know, love is a beautiful thing, isn't it? No, I think that when we're talking about love, it really is subjective. Mm-hmm. And everybody, I really believe this, everybody is well-intended for what they desire. It's just sometimes it can be very selfish, self-focused, self-gratifying, the immediacy, and rather than the patience and taking time and discovering and learning and growing love, allowing love to show itself through a natural dynamic and a natural give and take, a natural action, reaction, you know, and seeing what's real rather than what isn't real by what we prefer. So think of it as the bigger, longer term rather than, you know, that short-term fix. Because that's the kind of world we live in now, too. Mm-hmm. And I think we have also extended that into our regard of love, which could explain why there's so many divorces, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just something to think about.
Absolutely.
And having this conversation, apply it to your life. Think about that in some manner in your life. And, you know, question, what is your relationship with yourself? You know, and are you behaving in a more loving way to yourself? You know, we all do self-harm, whether it's eating the wrong food or something else. But are you choosing, like, choose it up, trade it up to something that's maybe not as bad. It's an evolution.
True. And, you know, there are always fun vices out there, but everything in moderation. Enjoy life, but be smart. But yeah, well said.
Yeah.
You know, I have loved this discussion. I have, quoting Laura and Jad too, she loved it as well. And it really has been fun, engaging, you know, eye-opening, and we haven't really... We've kind of talked about love in a lot of different contexts, but we never really focused in on that behavior. So, great topic idea, Dr. Vicky. Looking forward to...
I think we were going to talk about identity or something next week.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Good for you.
I'm looking forward to next week. We're going to talk about, you know, finding your identity. You know, what is identity? So, I'm looking forward to that discussion as well. So, as we kind of close out this evening, any last thoughts, Dr. Vicky?
You know, life's a crazy place on days. Just stay as true to yourself as you can and don't let them push you around out there. You know, when stuff goes a little crazy, go quiet and, you know, navigate your way through without doing yourself any more harm. That's what I say. Do your best.
Well said. Yep, and I'll just echo that. Don't let them get you down. Just like my grandma used to say, you know, don't let the turkeys get you down. Instead, soar with the eagles. So that's what I'll go out on. And looking forward to you joining us next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everybody.